Right. You liking it? Liking it? Good. Very good. Welcome to Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5, hour number three on this Super Tuesday Eve. As people are getting ready for the polls to open tomorrow at 7. Reminder, if you've moved or whatever, you moved to town or you moved across town, not sure where your polling place is, alabamavotes.gov. You can go on there, plug the information in, and get it back to where you should show up. You've probably gotten the mail or card or something like that. But if not, alabamavotes.gov, a good place to start. And as I mentioned, joining us in studio, candidate for the Republican primary for AL1, former state senator Bill Hightower.
Hello, Sean. Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah.
It's question. You know, one of the things we were talking about before during the news break is how the turnout, just the feeling on the turnout for tomorrow. And I was saying within this audience, I think it'll be high. I didn't know across the board, but you said in your time door to door to door, you're hearing lots of people that are engaged.
That's right. Yeah, I'd say 1 in 10 are not familiar that tomorrow is an election day.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah. But, you know, I must admit, we're focusing on Republican voters. Mm-hmm. But it's gone really well. And, you know, just before we get going, I just want to thank you again because your radio show informs people like they don't get informed otherwise. In Baldwin County, Mobile, just a huge area.
Thanks.
So I hope everybody recognizes the service you provide.
That's kind. Yeah. This is what we do around here. This is what we talk about. This is for sports analogies, this is, you know, these are our Super Bowls.
That's right.
And we get ready for this stuff.
And it's being in a hot seat in your studio is not an easy thing. People need to realize that.
Well, and we're looking at this, the polling we've seen come out. Okay, and I tell people they ought to average polls. One poll will say this, one poll will say something. Look for some kind of theme to them. But you're doing quite well.
Yeah, I think we are. But, you know, the most important poll is the one that's going to be taken tomorrow.
Sure.
And that's the one we're looking at. Because you just don't know who's going to show up. As we talked about it, they could say, yes, I'm going to vote for Bill Hightower, and they not go. And that's the greatest fear. Because, look, I've spent 8 months of my life trying to let people know about important issues that are going on and how I feel about certain things. And I think that's resonating with people.
I think one of the fears is for Republican voters with President Trump, you know, yes, Bill Weld is on the ballot, but there's not a big worry that President Trump will not get the nomination. That may lead people to going, but there's so much on the ballot that's not the presidential election.
Oh, yes. Well, but also we have Bradley Byrne and Jeff Sessions, both from the coast. And mm-hmm. My goodness, I hope we have a U.S. senator that's from the coast.
Yes.
That I think is going to pull people out not only for the primary, but for the runoff on March 31st.
Let's talk about the job in the House of Representatives, holding the purse strings there in the House. I was just talking about this documentary they were shooting this weekend. They came by here Saturday night, went and talked with people about the opposition to the I-10 Mobile River Bridge toll. I'm somebody, and I think I represent a lot of people, I was anti-toll, will be anti-toll on the Wallace Tunnel. That idea of tolling existing infrastructure to pay for others, and the P3 with the 55 years. But I believe, representative of a lot of people say, we need to do something. We need, that's a big AL1 story, is some sort of secondary route across the bay.
Yeah, and I totally agree. We've got to have a bridge. I mean, we can't continue this way. It's suppressing our economic capabilities regionally, and we are a tremendous distribution hub, of course, with sea and river and
yes.
rail and road and air now. So all that's very, very important. It's got to be done. And I, like you, when they said they were going to toll the other routes, that's just a no-go.
Right. But it is still a, yes, we do need this infrastructure.
Gotta have it.
Okay.
And so the congressional role, my role will be to secure the funding to the degree we can.
Mm-hmm.
But I gotta tell you, the Montgomery has to come up with most of the money.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to work with them on trying to do that. But what I just don't want to see them is to cut us short.
Yeah.
Because so much they've taken from the coast, everything from 90% of the money from the oil derricks off mm-hmm. the coast, that goes to Montgomery. Mm-hmm. Only 10% stays here. It's just something wrong about that. All the revenues from our vacations over in Baldwin County to the industrial over here in Mobile County and Dauphin Island, the vacations there, all that revenue goes up to Montgomery. A lot of it does. And I think we need to have our money down here. It's time they paid for it.
Oh, well, I agree that we are not only the cash cow, we're the whole herd of cash cows,
yeah.
You know, down here for the state. But in Washington, this idea of fighting for that money, I know that the idea of the way it used to be is, I mean, we've heard it, this, and this is from Republicans, from President Trump and others, that going forward, the idea of the 80-20 or the 90-10 federal programs is not going to be there. But there is some percentage you've got to fight for. If you're the representative from AL1, you got to fight for to get home here.
Yeah, and that'll be key. You've got to be able to develop the relationships and target every dollar we can out of D.C., and then work with Montgomery in order to get the proper funding as well. And you can see my record for fighting things. If you go to BillHightower.com, you can learn more about my background. And that's one of the things I try to differentiate here, Sean, is that, you know, I don't talk about protecting religious liberties. I've done it. I don't just talk about lowering taxes. I've supported legislation to lower taxes, to rethink, to stop sanctuary cities. When Birmingham was talking about becoming a sanctuary cities, you need to have somebody that's able to fight over these issues and has been a proven legislator. I've got that proven legislative ability, and although I term limited myself, I'm no longer in office, I have proven I can do that.
You talk about your history. It's a question I get asked a lot when you're not here. They say Bill Hightower was in business before. Talk to us about what you did before getting involved in state politics first.
Yeah, well, after growing up here and going to University of South Alabama, graduating from Murphy High School, I went to Vanderbilt to get an MBA, and then I went to work for manufacturing companies. I adore manufacturing. I don't know. There's just something really cool about it. So I've really been intrigued with Austal and Airbus and the host of other companies that have been brought to the district. And that knowledge gives me some insight because I know what they're looking for. I know the language they speak. And I'll be a tremendous recruiter of business in this district just because I understand what they're doing and what they're looking for. But after that long career in business, I came back to Mobile to raise my kids. And we started several small companies, and the opportunity came for me to run for the state senate, and I did. I won. And while I was there, I was voted consistently among the top three most conservative state senators while I was there. And that kind of conservatism is what we need to take to D.C. That's what Trump is doing, and it's working. I'm not a conservative because it's stylish, but I'm a conservative because it works.
How would you deal with that in the House, where if, let's say, you're looking at one of these omnibus bills, a cromnibus bill comes through, and it has really good things for AL1, but somewhere in that bill it raises taxes on, you know, there's, or some other piece of the, because they shove everything into these gigantic bills.
I know.
And then so I see votes go down where people are voting for the, I guess they're weighing the lesser of two evils, and they say, okay, this is better for AL1 or whatever, and do a vote, and then they get creamed on this because they say, oh, well, they also voted for this, that, and the other. Well, you don't have it's not issue by issue. You have to vote on all this stuff at one time.
Yes, and that's by design. They want to force you into that situation. But let me tell you, I think this huge deficit we've created is a threat to us, and nobody seems to be taking notice of it. And so we have to find the money. We do. But in order to build the infrastructure that we need in the area. But at the same time, we can't keep spending like we're spending without some kind of reform at the federal level. And I've tried to reform the state level in taxes, in how we fund things. I always had a balanced budget in Montgomery. Fought for that. So we're going to fight for that in D.C. as well.
Yeah, how do you deal with this? Because you are, you know, one voice, the voice of AL1, and you, at least what I've watched over the years, that the it's not even sacrifice made between the Democrats and Republicans. The Democrats want something that's growing government, and the Republicans don't want that. But they don't not take something for themselves. It seems like it's ever expanding. In other words, all right, Democrats, if you're going to get that spending program, then we're going to get something on defense or something else. It continues to ratchet up. Instead of one party, like the Republicans, saying, y'all aren't getting that, and maybe we don't get this other thing we want, but y'all aren't getting that. It seems like the deals are not made to reduce the size of government. The deals are made, if somebody else is going to increase size of government, well, we're going to do it too in spending.
Yeah, well, it's a difference in philosophy, right? It's the kind of the Bernie Sanders philosophy of bigger government and socialism, and that's Joe Biden. Look, the only reason, if Bernie Sanders wasn't in the race, you would see Joe Biden would be the liberal leftist that mm-hmm. he is. Right now, he looks moderate.
Yes, compared but, to, yes.
But the conservatives, so the liberals are looking at, say, they want more resources, and the conservatives are looking at what decisions, what's the consequence of our decision? And that's the right way to look at it, is that we have to think about the consequence of our decisions. And the debt levels that we have right now are astounding. We're strapping ourselves with more and more debt. I had thought the new tax policy by President Trump would have brought that down.
Mm-hmm.
It apparently
increases.
It did. But that was because of the obligatory payments of the government.
Yes.
It actually did lower the deficit, but it was offset by increase in spending.
You know, it's not as, I tell you what, could you mind, hold on, let's go to the break here. We'll go to the break and come back, because I want to ask you some questions about this, because you look at the amount of money that you would get to make a decision on in Washington. Now, it's not as hamstrung as it is in Montgomery, with the general fund being 93% earmarked, but there are a lot of things that people question, oh, I can't believe they're spending on that in the House of Representatives, and it wasn't even something that was up for discussion. All right, continue our discussion. Candidate for AL1 in the Republican primary, Bill Hightower. We'll be right back. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig, guest in studio. AL1 primary candidate Bill Hightower, former state senator. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. That's my buddy Trey. 11 years here in Mobile and Baldwin County, getting junk gone, and it's just that easy. You go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and you set an appointment time. Listen to this. It's not a spectrum of time. It's not this thing, oh, it'll be sometime between Tuesday and Friday, between 8 in the morning and 6 in the... No, they actually find a day and then set a time with you, because they know you're busy. And then they come, they quote your price. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done right then. We've used them here at the office and at our house. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, continuing our conversation with Bill Hightower. When you stop and if you're at an event or you're knocking on a door, what's the number one question you're asked?
Well, I think people want to know whether or not I support Trump. That's a big one, you know, and I do. Look, I've campaigned for him. I've given money to his campaign. I've been a longtime Trump supporter. That's number one. And it's an easy ask, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they also want to know, will you protect our religious liberties? Are you going to fight for limited government? Are you going to be pro-life? That's another big issue. And it's rising. People's awareness of that as science and medicine reveal the true atrocity that's occurring with children that are being aborted, people are getting more aware of that. That movie Unplanned, if you haven't seen it, it's powerful. And it just sheds a light on that as well. But all those and more issues, they can see at BillHightower.com to learn more about me.
You know, you talk about your support for President Trump. You and your fellow candidates, I hadn't heard of one that doesn't say they support President Trump. My question is, what's next? In other words, President Trump gets reelected in November. Okay, 4 years. He's out. Okay. How do you keep, is what's happening, this Main Street populist, you know, rise of President Trump, is it specific to Donald J. Trump, or does it set off a new movement? Let's think about Reagan, okay? The Reagan movement didn't go away when Reagan left office. It set a new standard. It set, and that had been eroded over time, but it took some time to erode that. Even though you had Democrats coming into place, you still had this Reagan. You still hear about Reagan Republicans and that idea. I wonder if that lives on. Meaning, does it leave with President Trump from the White House, or is there enough of a change made in Washington and people that are getting elected under the time when Trump's president? That it sticks around. You see what I'm saying?
I do. I heard Gary Bauer talk in Birmingham a few months ago, and he said if Reagan were to run again, he wouldn't get elected. we needed a different kind of president, somebody that could punch back. Mm-hmm. And that's what Trump is. But, you know, I when I talk to people that are not friendly with Trump, I have to remind them, would you have rather had Hillary?
Right,
it's like you said,
choice,
what
yeah.
was your choice? Yeah. Or well, let's go back to Obama. You know, Obama had executive orders that were broader, wider sweeping than any president. And he was liberal, and he was in-your-face liberal, too. Did things like funding of abortions, you know, on the day that Roe v. Wade was decided. I mean, he was offensive almost, in-your-face. So we're glad that we have somebody like Trump that is speaking the truth, shining light on things, moving the embassy. The Israeli embassy mm-hmm. to Jerusalem, where it should have been all the time, dealing heavy with China because that is a defense issue. China is trying to win in the war against America. And it's not just about trade. It's much bigger than that.
Speaking of trade, though, and international trade, how do you balance that with the fight with international trade and tariffs and getting things leveled out and the fact that we have some pretty big players, international companies here in AO1?
Yeah, so, well, we don't want tariffs long-term, right? We're going to try to position this to get the new agreements in place, because I'm a free markets guy. But as far as, like, Airbus and the issue with them, the next congressman has to work tirelessly with the senators. You know, we have Richard Shelby, who has a lot of strength. Politically, and we need to work in order to make sure the tariffs are not on those products. And it was done last time. It needs to be done again. We need to protect the Airbus. It's an industry. They don't need tariffs. Europe is not our enemy. It's China that is our enemy. We need to be smart about it. Now, China will use Europe to import goods through Europe and then into the United States.
Yeah.
We've got to be smart about that because China is... Look, I've worked in China. When people talk about understanding what a company is, it's a very different concept in America than it is in China because the government can control anything.
Yeah.
That's the very thing we're fighting against, the socialist tendencies here in America. We don't want them. And it's amazing, over the past decades, the whole rise, the interest in socialism has increased. I read that 70% of millennials would vote for a socialist president.
We're about to see that. Remind folks, up against the break here, but remind folks where to go online for more information.
BillHightower.com to learn more about me, and sure appreciate your going to the polls tomorrow.
All right. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
All right. Coming right back, we'll talk more about that Amendment 1 that's going to be on the ballot. We talk a lot with candidates, but what about Amendment 1? What does that mean? We'll read it to you in normal Sullivanese. I'll tell you what, we'll read it in the language written on the ballot, and then we'll read it in regular folk language, too. It's all coming up. Y'all stay close.